This morning I'm going to do a couple things, but the one thing I want to do is talk about an article that I read, and I know that this is true. So I want to bring it across our path so that we are aware of it. One thing, did you read where Russia is now closed to the gospel? You're not allowed to preach the gospel in Russia anymore. And was it China, the other place? So you see the doors now are closed. When God opened the doors for Russia and China, he said it would be for a short season. And now the season's over and they've closed it. You get put in jail and everything else if you try to do anything over there. You have to understand that the persecution of the Christians has begun. It's been going on for a little bit, but it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, I know it's over there in the Mideast. Is that what you said, Mideast? But it's also going to come to America. If you read the things that's going on, Christians do not have a voice anymore. Sinners do. And the sinners are trying to shut the Christians up altogether. You're going to have to take your stand somewhere along the line and not allow the enemy to close your mouth. We're going to have to stand up for what is right. We're going to have to live a holy life and do the things that we know that we are supposed to do. Now, the sneaky spirit of sabotage is seeking to destroy you. Do you notice that when you set out to execute a God-given assignment for his glory, all hell breaks loose against you? Right? Does it seem like when you try to press into deeper levels of the spirit, the enemy works overtime to distract you, derail you, and otherwise deny you? Are you watching your kids fall away from the teachings of Christ? Are you working against yourself with the words of your mouth? Lots of questions, I know, but I'm getting at something here. It could be possible that a particular spirit is behind these attacks that you are not discerning. We all have our go-to demon hit list, those spirits we discern actively working against us. We all can tell what they are. In my life and ministry, I wrestled a lot with the spirits of Jezebel, witchcraft, and religion that are prominent in my region. But here's the deal. The demons you wrestle with most aren't always the demons wrestling with you right now. You hear that? The demons you wrestle with most aren't always the demons wrestling with you right now. That's why you need discernment in spiritual warfare. We can't make assumptions in the heat of the battle if we want to enforce the victory that Jesus secured for us at Calvary when he disarmed the principalities and powers, putting them to shame. Let me read that again. We cannot make assumptions in the heat of the battle if we want to enforce the victory that Jesus secured for us at Calvary when he disarmed the principalities and powers, putting them to shame. Colossians 2:15. The enemy works in deception, and God told us deception was rampant in the church. The enemy works in deception, so if a demon can deceive you, it can gain power in your circumstances. The enemy works in deception, so if a demon can deceive you, it can gain power in your circumstances. The spirit of sabotage rising. That brings me to the point of the article. I have discerned a spirit of sabotage rising in this season. I've seen it come hard against my own life and against the lives of many others that I know, and even those I don't know who contact me through my Facebook page telling stories of their spiritual woes. This article is written by Jennifer. I forgot her last name. She's with Charisma. All right. I have to admit this spirit was not on my radar screen. I discerned the hindering spirits working against me, but I didn't see the higher level spirit of sabotage that was ultimately at the root. And I can guarantee you, some of you in here today, this spirit is working in your life right now. In other words, I didn't immediately discern the strong man of sabotage. A general of intercession revealed this to me when I shared with her the warfare coming against me. At that point, it was obvious that I could see the workings of this spirit at several levels of my life, family, and ministry. Merriam-Webster defined sabotage as destruction of an employer's property as tools or materials, or the hindering of manufacturing by discontented workers. Doesn't that sound right? Everything we own belongs to God. So when the enemy comes against what God has given us to steward, he's coming against God's property. We all have to remember that. I believe hindering spirits work under the authority of the spirit of sabotage, which is the strong man. Another definition of sabotage is destructive or obstructive action carried on by a civilian or enemy agent to hinder a nation's war effort. Again, you see the hindering nature of the spirit of sabotage in this definition. The enemy agent is clear, and its agenda is an all-out war, to take you off God's track and oppress you, suppress you, repress you, and depress you. Come on, this is an all-out war. And this enemy is truly working against God's people. Additional definitions of sabotage include an act or process tending to hamper or hurt and deliberate subversion. The spirit of sabotage works with other spirits to take you to task, to hamper you, to hurt you, and to purposefully and intentionally subvert you. For sake of clarity, subvert means to secretly try to ruin or destroy a government, political system, and so on. To make something weaker or less effective, to overturn or overthrow from the foundation, and to pervert or corrupt by an undetermining or undermining or morals allegiance of faith. So you see, this is what that, and if you check your walk right now, you know this kind of stuff is going on in your walk. The enemy of sabotage is definitely working in the body of Christ. Do you see the spirit operating in your life? By now, you are probably starting to see how the spirit is working or has worked in the past to flat out stop you. It's a stealthy spirit. It works undercover. It's subtle, sneaky, and tricky, and it doesn't work alone. All right. By now, you're probably starting to see how the spirit is working or has worked in the past to flat out stop you. How many of you know that a spirit is working against you to stop you? Amen. It's a stealthy spirit. It works undercover. It's subtle, sneaky, and tricky, and it doesn't work alone. I believe principalities can deploy powers against you, just as Jezebel, a principality, deploys powers, witchcrafts, against believers. 2 Kings 9:22. The prayer warrior who told me about the spirit of sabotage also told me where she learned about it. It's in Cindy Trim's book, The Rules of Engagement. She discusses the spirit of sabotage on pages 245 and 246. So evidently, I didn't read this book, but evidently in every marriage, there is a spirit of sabotage that comes in immediately as soon as you get married to destroy your marriage. And if every one of you is honest and every one of you were honest and you look back at your marriage, you can now see where that enemy was at work. And some of them, he did his job completely. The spirit of sabotage operates as strong demonic influences that drive people to abort the progress and success of divinely ordained projects, purposes, relationships, organizations, self-potential, and destinies. So the spirit of sabotage operates as strong demonic influences that drive people to abort the progress. And isn't this what happens in Christian marriages a lot? And success of divinely ordained projects. If God has given you a project. All right. So I've been saying here, something is coming against the deliverance ministry really hard. And I'm really adamant about this thing. And it's this spirit of sabotage. When Sister Barbara and Astra started theirs, they had a problem. And we had to get that addressed. Because once God tells me to start a project, I don't stop it. I make sure that it's going to continue on. And you guys have got to understand this. You are on assignment from God. This is something that has to go forth. You know, the project of the women. And you're on assignment. You have to keep this deliverance ministry going and going strong. Because the spirit of sabotage is coming against a divinely ordained project. Purpose, relationship, organization, self-potential, and destinies. Everybody in here, you need to make sure that whenever you start a project, it is a project called from God and not your own vain imagination. Something to glorify yourself. Put your name on the map to say. The enemy's not going to touch you if it's your idea. But when it's a God, divinely God-ordained project, then the enemy's going to come after you with everything he has to stop you from carrying that thing forth. And it's every time we start a new project here, it's because God told me to. We always have a struggle with it. Always have a struggle. Why? Because the enemy does not want that divinely ordained project to get off the ground. And every one of you that head these things up, you have got to pray yourself through. You must keep yourself covered. You have to make sure that you're in the will of the Father. You have to make sure that you're walking in the Spirit. I can't do this for you. You have to do it yourself. The flagging. I notice we have a lot of trouble with the flaggers, you know, in the team. It seems like contention keeps coming up. That's sabotage. The enemy does not want the flagging team to keep going. He wants to stop it. So you guys have got to quit giving in to the spirit of sabotage, and you have to say, no, devil, this is God ordained, and we're going to walk in unity, and we're going to do this thing. Are you understanding this? Every project that we have started, the enemy has come against. If you look in your own life, if God has called you to do something, immediately the enemy comes to stop you at every turn. You're in a war. You'll always be in a war. You've got to understand that the enemy has strongholds that he can throw against you. And if you're not aware of what's going on around about you, he's going to take you out. Anybody that started, I told you, start a project and you messing up, you can tell everybody how she gets on us. Because I know what's God and I know what's not God. And we have to do, if it's a God thing, then we have to make sure we do our warfare. All right, the women thing is your project. You two have to do your warfare. You have to stay in unity. You have to make sure everything you give is from the Father so that when it goes out there, it's anointed. Right? You, the deliverance team. You have to stay in unity. You can't be jealous of one another. You can't be saying, well, I'm better than they are. I have more power. You can't do that. You have to stay in total, complete unity. And if you find yourselves being jealous or fighting among yourself and notice there's not disunity, I mean, noticing that there is disunity, then the spirit of sabotage has come to try to break up the deliverance ministry. All right? I can tell you, a lot of you in here right now, that spirit is working in your lives. And he's working in mine too. He's working in our lives. And he's working hard to stop us from doing the things that God has divinely called us to do. All right. It stirs up jealousy, resentment, and suspicion there. If you really look at your projects you're on, you'll say, yeah, all this is going on there. It stirs up jealousy, resentment, and suspicion, and it is often vindictive toward the person who detects its presence. Well, the enemy's been fighting me because I've been, you know, I didn't know it was a spirit of sabotage, but I knew that something was trying to stop the different programs that God has started in the church. All right? Sabotage can make you both the victim and the perpetrator. So that even when you pronounce judgment on others, you both expose and pronounce judgment upon yourself. All right? This spirit is so skillful it will use you as a pawn and a puppet on a string, prohibiting you from detecting its hand upon you and the strings that manipulate you. Let's read that again. This spirit is so skillful it will use you as a pawn and a puppet on a string, prohibiting you from detecting his hand upon you and the strings that manipulate you. All right, I'm going to give you another example. I emailed Brett and Nancy. I said, something's not right. Something's not right in your camp, and a spirit is trying to come between them and me. And they said, well, we'll check ourselves out. But I know that I know that I know that that spirit is at work, and eventually it's going to pop its ugly head. But what we have to do is we have to do warfare and stop this thing before it gets a hold of anything. Becomes a real stronghold. Wouldn't he just love to cause disunity between the pastor and the deliverance team? Nothing would get accomplished, right? You know, you have to be walking in the spirit. You have to have discernment. You have to know what's going on around about you at all times. And God will, I don't care how busy your day is, God will speak to you and he will show you things that are happening. All right? This spirit is so skillful, it will use you, I already said that, working with familiar spirits who act as their reconnaissance informing them of breaks and hedges, of protection, strengths, and weaknesses of both the perpetrator and the victim. His plan is a well-thought-out plan. So this spirit of sabotage works with familiar spirits who know you. And it runs and tells, you know, them, oh, this is where they're at. This is where there's a break in the hedge. This is where their crack is. And then he starts working on that area. So what do we have to do? We can't have a break. We can't have a crack. And everything has to stay solid 24/7. She says, I have discovered that many agents used are not only those with malice intent, malicious intent, but also those who sincerely love us and want what's best for us. Consider the incident Matthew records in Matthew 16:21-23, where Peter unwittingly was being used in an attempt to sabotage the mission of Jesus. What did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. See, Satan was working through. And it's just like years ago when I told Brother Christopher Gore, I said, God told me I'm not walking under the blessing anymore. I'm now walking under the curse. He said, not so, not so. Just like Peter, but it was so. See, he unwittingly was being used by the enemy to try to make me believe that I didn't hear God's voice. Are you understanding this? Jesus decisively identified this spirit controlling Peter's thoughts and immediately aborted its activities. Immediately aborted its activities. Get thee behind me, Satan. All right? Whenever you see something's going on, you need to immediately do the same thing. Get thee behind me, Satan. Satan, you're not going to do this thing, whatever it is you say, and you need to stop him dead. All right, so let's just say you two have an argument. You're trying to do your women's conference, and what you have to do, you have to stop immediately, and you have to pray, and you have to bind him. You can't let him, same way with the flagging team. You have to do the very same thing. Whatever it is that you're doing for God, you have to stop immediately and make the enemy stop. You can't give him any ground. You give him a piece of dust and he'll just take the whole field. Amen. I thought that was a good statement. Thank you, Jesus. How about that? I had to remember that. Okay, when the Lord gives you victory over the spirit, you will notice that a veil will be lifted and scales of deception will fall from your spiritual eyes. Everything that you thought was real will crumble before you and evaporate like a mirage. In other words, he won't be able to sabotage you any longer. He makes you think something's real and it really isn't real. Truth will prevail and set you free from anything built upon fabrications, lies, falsehood, and untruths. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Yeah. Jennifer LeClaire is who this is. So there you go. The spirit of sabotage is on the loose. And I know it's attacking the majority of the body of Christ. And you have to be on your toes. You have to know what is of God and what is not of God. And some of you say, well, I just didn't know this happening. Yes, you did. You would just as soon close your eyes to it and say, I didn't know it existed. And you knew it existed because, you know, the Bible says what you don't know, then you won't be judged for. Well, I'm sorry, but you can't lie to the Holy Spirit. You know it exists. Now you have to stop it. You know, you don't have to lift your hands or anything, but how many of you know that in your marriage, as you're sitting here this morning, you know that the spirit of sabotage has come into your marriage to try to get it stopped. He comes in a variety of ways. He doesn't use the same tactic every time because he doesn't want you to get onto what he's doing. So, you know, you have to make sure you don't allow his tactics to take hold. Now I want to talk about new breed of Christians. God spoke this word to me on July the 15th at 3:16 in the morning. He said, you are part of the new breed that I'm raising up, and you will stand before kings and princes, and you will speak of my wonderful ways, and you will speak with divine authority, and you will see many miracles take place all across this land. You will take this gospel of peace to my people, and you will go unhindered in the spirit. Now, do you know why God told me that? It's because God has told me he isn't finished with me and he's going to use me in my old age. And I see my brother back there and I don't want you to wane either. God is going to use you. And so I've been sort of sickly here lately again. And so I've been doubting that God was going to use me. So God gave me this word. Now this word goes to each one of you in here because you are part of that new breed. And I don't care what the enemy sends your way, you are part of that new breed, and we're going to find out what this new breed's all about. And God is going to use you just as he promised you, but you're in a battle. The enemy's going to try to make you believe, you know, that isn't true, God, and you, and then he, just like I've been sick lately, my heart's really been acting up really bad the last 4 or 5 days. And so I thought, God, you'll never use me, you know how you do, all right? Tell him he's a liar. God is not finished with anybody sitting in this room. And some of you, he hasn't yet even started. But if he's given you a word of what your destiny is, then that is where he's trying to take you to. But you have to help him take you to there. And how do you help him? You help him by fighting the enemy, making the enemy shut up, and don't let him try to put doubt and unbelief in your mind. All right? Now, the word new means not of long duration, having just or relatively recently come into being, or been made or acquired or discovered, a new law, new cars, new comment, a new friend, a new year, or a new world, the new world. It means original and of a kind not seen before. See, we're a type of people that's not been seen before. Lacking training or experience, the new men were eager to fight, even though some of the younger people is going to be coming in. They don't know what we know, but they're eager to fight. They're eager to do the work of the Father. All right. Other than the former ones, different. They now have new leaders ready to take a new direction of a new kind or fashion. Unfamiliar, new experiences new to him. Now, see, there's a lot of leaders in the body of Christ right now that are saying that what's going on is not of God anymore, and they're going backwards instead of forward, and they're taking their people backwards instead of bringing them forward. But if you look at TV any at all when you see people preaching, it's mostly new faces, young faces, right? If you look at books, it's young people writing these books, these Christian books. So God already has these people lined up to use when he starts his movement. And I know that each one of you in here, you are part of that new breed. And even though Satan's been fighting you tooth and nail, trying to make you believe, well, I shouldn't be in that church, God isn't saying that, they're too radical, that's what the enemy's telling you, that because you are part of that new breed, and he does not want you to advance. He wants you to go backwards. All right, and then the word breed is call forth. So we're a different kind of people that God is calling forth. Now, are you ready to be one of that new breed? That's what you have to decide in your heart. Am I ready to go ahead and do the things I have to do to be part of that new breed? The rise of a new breed of Christians and a transformation of the church throughout the world. 2010 was the end of the decade of destiny, and now we are in the decade of acceleration. Now, 2013 revealed a new dimension of the Spirit of God. There was a quickening that came, an anointing to mature, and took us up to the next level. It was 2013 that God called this church to go to a higher level in him. I went back to the prophetic words. It was 2013 when God says, will you come up into the third heaven with me? He was trying to accelerate us into a higher realm. As we hear his voice from the nations of the world, a new generation will arise. A new company of people will get ready for what is about to happen. 2013 was the breaking of a new dawn. 2013 was a time for God's people to cross over, to take over. How many times did God say that, please cross over Jordan and go into your promised land? He kept telling us that every service, cross over Jordan, cross over Jordan. Some crossed, some didn't. But that doesn't mean you still can't cross over. It is a time for them to pursue and recover all. And this is what God told us. We wasted 3 whole years. It is a time for them to pursue and recover all and take over every work of the enemy so that the very plot of land that God has given us will become a fruitful ground. God is giving his people power to exercise dominion in every dominion. This is where we're at right now, church. God has given us power over every dominion, domain. God wants you to walk in the power of the Most High God. He does not want us to be mediocre Christians. He wants us to have power and authority in our words and in our actions. He wants whenever you go out on the streets that the glory of God that's in us, the power of God that's in us, will go on to the people that surround about us, and you'll see them saved, healed, and convicted. Amen? Come on. There's too many people sitting in the house of God. When you walk out the door and pass anybody, they look like you say, You know, you don't have nothing in you. And God has been trying to get us full of himself for ever since 2013. Matthew 8:18 says, now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. You ain't crossed over. Zechariah 10:1-5. Pray to God rain. It's time for the spring rain to, the rainmaker, spring thunderstorm maker, maker of grain and barley. Store-bought goods, babble, gibberish, religious experts spout rubbish. They put out hot air. Their prescriptions are nothing but smoke. And so the people wander like lost sheep, poor lost sheep without a shepherd. Pastors are not preaching the word, is what this is in the Message Bible. That pastors are not preaching the word the way they ought, and their sheep are going astray. I'm furious with the so-called shepherds. They're worse than billy goats, and I'll treat them like goats. God of the angel armies will step in and take care of his flock. See, God himself is coming on the scene, has come on the scene. The people of Judah, he'll revive their spirits, make them proud to be on God's side. God will use them in his work of rebuilding. Use them as foundations and pillars. Use them as tools and instruments. Use them to oversee his work. See, God told me one time, he said, daughter, he said, the blood of my son that ran down Calvary's hill is not doing the work. And the people are treading on his blood. Now I myself am coming on the scene. So a couple years ago, God himself came on the scene to come into his churches and get the sheep in the place he wants them to be. There'll be a workforce to be proud of, working as one. See that? Their heads held high, striding through swamps and mud, courageous and vigorous, because God is with them, undeterred by the world's thugs. This is Zechariah 10:1-5, the Message version. But this new breed will not be afraid of anything that the enemy throws at them. You will know who you are in Christ. You will walk as if you know who you are in Christ. And you will tell the enemy where he needs to go. He's no longer going to manipulate and control you. This is where we're at right now. For the Lord would say, in this hour, the church must embrace and enter into a new season. It is going to be a fresh season of an expanded mandate from heaven, because God would not allow you to just remain comfortable in your comfort zone. How many of you know God has been prodding you in your comfort zone? He's saying, get out there and get in another zone for me. So he is breaking down the fence and causing you to understand there are bigger dimensions to all that he has called you to. Don't be content where you're at right now in God. You know, you can still have a good job and still be in Christ, you know. You read that all the time, right? Where people have good jobs and they're head of the company, and but they're spirit-filled and they still work for God. So don't think, well, I can't work for God, because after all, what? Yes, you can. God placed you in that business so he could use you in that business. Because the people in that business aren't going to be touched by anybody. So he placed you there so he could work through you. What's so bad about that? All right. So in the days past, you have said to yourself, is this all that God has called me to do? I will settle in what God has given to me. And many people come to me and say, well, God isn't doing anything with me, so I guess I'll just sit here. No, don't settle into that mess that the devil gives you. God does have something for you to do. But God is saying, I'm going to expand your territories. I'm going to extend your boundaries. I'm going to cause you to enter into an area that you have never entered into before. Read this again. I'm going to expand your territories. I'm going to extend your boundaries. I'm going to cause you to enter into an area that you have never entered into before. I'm going to break down the fence that is holding you back. I'm going to cause you to understand that there is more than what pertains to the eye. You will not just stay in one place and say to yourself, this is all that I can do. God is going to enlarge your capacity so you can cross over and see the other side. Come on, guys. I want you guys to understand there is a work for you to do in the body of Christ. I don't care if your bishop's so well known that everybody just bows to him. I don't care about that. You have a work to do for the Father. There's a work out there on those streets that needs to be done that no bishop is going to do. I don't mind picking on bishops right now. That no bishop is going to do. But he needs you guys. He needs us to get out there and to witness to those people. Come on. You need to quit just sitting inside of your four walls. You need to get out there and you need to do something for the Father. If you're really interested, he'll open a way. He really will. He'll put a thought, an idea in you, and when it comes, you say, thank you, Jesus. And then run with it. Amen? There was a season of time when you said to yourself, well, this is enough. But now in your heart, there is a stirring in your spirit. There is a strength arising inside your heart causing you to say, I know there is more. Do you know there's more this morning? There's more to your walk with God than just coming to church when the church doors open. There's more to your walk with God than just sitting in the seat and listening to me teach you. You know, you need to take what you know and you need to take it out there to the world. We need evangelists here in America. There's an awful lot of people out there that are unsaved. We keep going overseas. Well, I think it's time, but God even told me America needs evangelized. So, you know, there's street corners all over the place. And all you have to do is go stand on them. I don't know what you have to do, but go stand on them, right? Where am I at, Nancy? I know there is more. I can see the future opening up in this hour. God is saying there are many of you that will walk out of your own terrain into other dimensions, and you will receive another measure of grace and another measure of anointing, and you will find there is something fresh that is coming upon your life. Now, you've got to believe this morning. If you don't believe this, you're going to sink. God has ordained you to hear this morning. There's something new that God needs to do through you. I just told somebody this morning, I have plans for you, but if you don't get it right, then they're going to go down through the crack. You know, God has laid things on my heart to do with people. And then they have to prove to me they can do that job, right? And I hope and pray that anything that God lays upon your heart to do, that you do it and do it to your very best. I watch people working for the devil. Boy, they give their all to the devil. They give everything they have to the devil. Why can't we give our all to God? You know, Jesus said, I went 100% of you. I don't want 99.9. You know, now you have this thing about pastors drinking. Have their meetings and drinking their meetings. And now they're getting drunk. Now, where do you find that you can do that? Don't find that in your word anywhere. People drink wine. Well, wine's good for your stomach. Yes, God did say that. Then I see people becoming winos too. You know, they abuse everything. So, you know, the church is really in a bind right now because the enemy is working overtime to steal us out of God's will. And he'll make you believe. I'm going to be honest with you. One, I was reading about wine, you know, how wine helps you. And I thought, maybe I should try a little bit of wine from my heart. You know, I said, isn't that dumb to even, I said to myself, you're dumb to even think that. See, the enemy kept putting it in my mind. And then I started reading about how these pastors are doing the drinking and doing the wine thing. And I thought, that's devil. If I would have listened to you, I'd probably be in the same boat they're in. And that was just a couple months ago. So the enemy is after your anointing. He's after your calling. And he'll come in any door that he can come in. So quit allowing him an open door that he can work through. Just get it together. And it's not that easy. When I say get it together, it's hard because I fight every day to keep it together. Once you get it together, then you have to fight to keep it together. Come on. And again, this is not a smooth walk. It is not. But it's a good walk and it's worthy to walk it. Anybody stands up there and tells you, oh, you can do this thing and there's no problem. Well, they're lying to you because, yeah, you can do it. But there is a problem because you have an enemy you're going to fight. Amen. Get ready. Is that what I meant? Get ready. There is a fresh mandate, a fresh commissioning for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to embrace and enter. Did you get that? A fresh mandate, a fresh commissioning for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to embrace and enter. What you thought was not possible is now going to become possible. Hasn't God been telling us that? Come on. What you thought you could not enter in, you are going to begin to enter. The things you thought you could not do, you're now going to do. And you know, and I was sometimes I'm sitting here and I'm watching the prophets prophesy over some of you people. I see you sit there with that perplexed look on your face like, really now? You know, God tells you you're going to do something really great and really fantastic. And you know, your mind can't quite comprehend you doing all that. But if God spoke it, then he's going to do it. He's going to use you in that area. You think, well, I'm not even in any position to even do that. God's going to put you in a position. How? Suddenly. Suddenly, overnight, you're going to be in that place. And you'll say, wow. Amen. For many years, is that where I'm at? For many years and many times past, you have looked at the situation and said, it cannot be done. I cannot do it. Remember, I told God, I just can't do this thing. He said, yes, you can. You just don't want to. So the things you said you cannot do, you're going to be able to do them. That want to is going to be in there. You'll say, I don't have the grace. I don't have the anointing. I don't have what it takes. But the Lord would say unto you, now will you begin to lift up your eyes and see? You know, when I was first born again and God called me to do the church, I didn't have none of this. You know, I didn't know what I was doing or nothing. But, you know, God said, I'll tell you how to do it. He'll tell you how to do it. Whatever he's called you to do, he'll tell you how to do it. If you just get in his presence, I don't care, getting in his presence, you could be scrubbing your floor and be in his presence. And what you have to do is have your mind open all the time for God to speak into your mind. And just let him start giving you details. If you have to jump up and run and write it down, jump up and write it down. But let it give him the opportunity to speak into your mind to tell you how he's going to accomplish the things that he's promised you. God wants you to cross over to the other side. He wants you to enter in and take over. He wants to give you new territory, new terrain. See, new. Not somebody's old used stuff. New territory, new terrain, so that you are not afraid of what is about to happen. God is going to cause you to embrace new territory. He's going to cause you to embrace new grace. The new grace is going to cause you to enter the race with speed. That's why I try to play a lot of songs about grace. I want you to see how good God's grace is and what God's grace is all about. Because God's grace will see you through anything. God is going to give you supernatural grace to break open the things that you have never touched before. Every limitation will be broken. All limits off the past will be removed. Now, you must stop thinking about the past. You have to stop thinking about what God used to do. Remember, I told you, as God kept saying to me, quit wanting what you used to have. It was good, but what I have for you is so much better. And I had a hard time letting go of what I used to have because it was really good. And when he was telling me that, I felt like I was dried up and dying. But he said, quit wanting what you used to have because I can't move you into the new until you let go of the old. So each one of you in here, you have to let go of what happened from yesterday on. Let go of it. And you have to move into the new that God wants you into today. And if you do that, you'll be surprised what God's going to do with you. Everything that has been holding you back until now will be broken. The shackles that are holding you down will no longer hold you back. This is a season for you to enter and see a redefining of your mandate because God is adding to your commissioning. He is adding to your task. He's adding to your assignment. He is adding to the things that he wants you to do. God said, I'm going to give some of you new assignments now. I'm going to put you in a different direction. And so you've been fighting against that too, because when you finally got comfortable where you was at now, he said, okay, let's do something else. He said, come on, God, I just got used to this. But he never wants us to get used to anything. You know, what God's getting ready to take us into, God has told me you have never seen before. Now, before Jesus came on the earth, when Jesus came on the earth, what he did, they had never seen before, had they? So when God tells us what we're going into, you have never seen before, that's not a new thing. Because Jesus' generation went through that. He did things that they never saw, and they fought about it, didn't they? They fought him for it. Do you think people are going to let, when you start doing a new thing, Do you think people are going to let you do your new thing without fighting you? No, they're not. They're going to come against you. Who do you think you are? I don't read that in the Word. But, you know, they will see that it is of God. All right? So don't let anybody hinder you. For you have said in your heart, Lord, I'm not sure if I can do so much. Yes, you can. Suddenly you will begin to arise and find yourself doing more and more and more. Every time you do more and more, you will become more competent. You will become stronger and stronger. What you thought was impossible will become possible. You hear that? What you thought was impossible will become possible. There will be more land, more territory, more place, more space, more people, more ministry, more grace, more prayer, more and more and more and more. See this, the Lord will not allow you to settle for Zion's sake. You will not stay in one place. For Zion's sake, you will begin to arise and intercede because the Lord is teaching you to embrace more. You young kids in here, I'm so excited what I'm reading about what young kids are doing out in different states. They are so on fire for God. They're doing miracles. They're doing all kind of things for God. Still going to school, but still working for God. Seeing miracles happen all around about them. See, these kids have learned not to become complacent. They've learned to step from the old to the new. They just learned to get out there by faith and just let God use them. They aren't allowing anything that happened in their past to stifle them. Why do we do that? Why do we let our past stifle us? Your past is your past. Your present is your present. Your future lies before you. It's bright and it's clear. Why do you keep looking back at what used to be? What used to be is dead, isn't it? So don't quit resurrecting what used to be. Let it alone. So if you used to be nasty, that was what used to be. You don't have to be nasty today. You know, if you used to be unhappy, you don't have to be unhappy today. You know what I'm saying? Step into the new this morning and let God do what he wants to do. There are more things that pertain to the call on your life. There are more dimensions to what God has planned for you. So do not linger back and hesitate because the things that God has planned for you are far beyond what your eyes can see. You know, just to stop thinking about Kenneth Hagin Sr. He had his church for 30 years. And he was talking to God and God said, Kenneth, you haven't even yet started your ministry. He said, but we're going to start today. And then Kenneth Hagin, he already saw miracles, but so many wonderful things happened from that point on. And he thought he'd been in God's perfect will all that time. But God said, you've been in my permissive will. So for 30 years, he was in God's permissive will. Maybe for 10, 15 years, you've been in God's permissive will. Now he's calling you into his perfect will. All right. Don't worry about what another pastor did to you or a friend did. That's done. It's over with. The Lord says to you, like Abraham, rise up in faith and begin to follow me because the things I'm going to show you are greater than what you have seen in the past. Like Abraham, rise up in faith and begin to follow me because the things I'm going to show you are greater than what you have seen in the past. The land is greater than what you have seen in the past. You are going to touch things that you have never touched before. Get over to the other side, lift your eyes and cross over to the other side. Now, you know, my kids, they'll say, don't you remember? You know, something happened 20 years ago. I said, no, I don't remember that. Well, you must have been seen now back then too. No, I'm not seen now. I don't know what's seen now then. Why continue to think about what happened 20 years ago? You know, I can't do anything about it. If, you know, I just go day by day. And then I forget what I did that day and go into the next day, right? No sense carrying your mess into the next day. It just messes you up. This is an important hour because many times you have become stuck with all the work that you do. Lift up your eyes and get to the other side. Don't become distracted by success. Because God has greater things than success for you and the greater things than blessings for you. So, okay, you think you've attained. Well, quit thinking you've attained because God has something even greater than what you just attained is what I'm saying here. The Lord says to you, hearken to the sound of my voice because I want you to cross over to the other side because as you allow my spirit to take you to the other side, you will realize there are far greater things that pertain to your life. I don't know about you. I said, God, here I am. Take me wherever you want to take me, but let's just go there quickly. I want to see something new. I really do. I'm tired of the stale old stuff. I want to see something brand new. I want to start seeing signs, wonders, and miracles performed. I want to see the signs in the sky, in the heavens. You know, I want to see great things. I'm tired of the mundane things that we've been going through for the last 15, 20 years. The other side, you will realize there are, Hearken to the sound of my voice, because I want you to cross over to the other side, because as you allow my spirit to take you to the other side, you realize there are far greater things that pertain to your life. Therefore, do not be afraid anymore. You know, don't worry about what God's, how God's going to do this thing. It is time to get on to the other side. It is time to see what is on the other side. Well, Joshua and Caleb went over and they saw the great things, and the other spies saw all the bad things. So let's be the good Joshua and Caleb, and let's see all the good things on the other side. And many times you have become stuck with the success that is around your life. People are continually reminding you of your success. So, all right, so your mind has become saturated with the success and the blessings that God has given you. Brother Brett wrote his book, and, you know, and he started buying everything. I said, well, have you written another book? You know, I didn't want to get caught up in the success of one book, because God is going to write many books. And one book is not going to keep his family of 12, or however many God. You know, he has to write many books in order to live off of those books. Right? Oh, well, look, that book went over fine. Well, now quit patting yourself in the back, and let's write another book. See how this is working? Your mind has become saturated with the success and blessings that God has given you. But the Lord is saying unto you, lift up your eyes and see beyond the success, because that is not where I want you to settle. I don't want you to settle in your blessings. I don't want you to settle in your popularity. I don't want you to settle in all the good that I have given to you. Let the good that I have done for you put gratitude in your heart. But see that it is a foundation for something far bigger. You know, God said, what you're leaving behind, I have something so much greater for you if you walk into it. So, okay, so you've been blessed really great. Well, God has greater blessings for you. If you've done something, you become popular, then God has even something to even make you more popular. You see what he's saying here? Don't be content at where you're at. Let the good that I have done for you put gratitude in your heart, but see that it is a foundation for something far bigger. You have not seen all that I have planned for you yet. You have not seen all the things I have established for you yet. But this is going to be the stepping stone. This year is a year for you to cross over to the other side. So you see where this is leading. Today we're going to cross over to the other side. I'm going to begin showing you things that you are going to enter into. And you're going to see that this year is not the end, but it is a continuation of what I have begun. This is a year for you to cross over to take over. Guys, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. This is not the end of your walk with God. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep right on walking until I breathe my last breath. I don't care what anybody says about how old you are, how young you are. You're too young to do that. No, you're not. You know, some people get born again and you ask them to do something. Well, you know, I'm just a baby Christian. I can't do that. And I said, how long are you going to stay a baby? They've been in the church 2-3 years, born again, and they're still a baby Christian. Get out of here. That's an excuse not to work for the Father. That's an excuse not to go any higher. You know, God wants to use you the second you become born again. He does not want you to walk around unanointed. He does not want you to walk around just doing nothing. He wants you to be so saturated with him that every place you go, people will know that you are with the Father. In Matthew 8:18, when Jesus saw the crowds, he said to the disciples, it is time for us to cross over to the other side. Come on. This morning, it's time to cross over to the other side. It's time to quit saying, well, God isn't going to use me any longer. No, he won't if you keep that attitude. He just really won't. Well, I don't want to get too fanatical. Well, you know, Jesus was fanatical. His disciples were fanatical. And if we're supposed to be just like Jesus, then we need to get fanatical. That's what's going to happen to us tonight. There is going to be an expanded understanding of our own commissioning. There's going to be an expanded understanding of our own mandate and our job profile. We're going to realize that God includes another portion. Because you have been faithful in the little that God has given to you, now God is going to add much add much. He's going to show you another domain so you can expand more and more. Many of you are going to be promoted because of your faithfulness. Come on. He is going to promote you because you have been faithful to do what God has called you to do. You know, when God's called you to do something, you know, you think, boy, that's mundane. But nothing in God is mundane. Absolutely nothing. If you'll just obey God at everything he asks you to do, you watch and see how God will exalt you. And don't do it just because you're going to be exalted. But I'm just telling you, everything God's ever asked me to do since I became born again, I did it, and God exalted me because of my obedience. And this is what God's looking for. He's looking for obedience. All right? All right, so God says, I'm going to extend another measure. I'm going to break down the old fence and extend the fence. I'm going to break down the old territory and bring you into something far bigger, far stronger, so that you can enter straight into the things I have planned. So cross over. So this morning, we're going to cross over. Each one of you in here this morning, please don't be content in where you're at. Please don't be content in just sitting in a church. God did not call you to sit in a church. He called you and commissioned you with an assignment. The minute he placed you in your mother's womb, you already had an assignment to do for him. Don't worry about being fanatical. Don't worry about what people are saying about you. You know, I know somebody that, you know, they sort of question what I said and did all the time. But they found out everything a prophesied of their life came to pass. And those people now are calling me and saying, will you listen to the voice of the Lord for me? Because I really need to hear God, and I know he speaks through you. So what I'm saying here is, no matter how much people put you down, and no matter how much people have, you know, talked about you or didn't believe in you, God will vindicate you. And God's getting ready to vindicate everyone in here this morning. He's getting ready to let people see that you truly are his child. He truly did call you, and you haven't been crazy all these years, but you've been doing what the Father's called you forth to do. And then they're going to come to you and say, can you please teach me what you know? Amen. So this morning, the altar, now what we do is we do the altar first, and then we do the prophesying second, because I always like God to do his work first. Well, everything we do is God's work, but I just want you this morning, I really want, and those who want to cross over and do everything that God has commissioned you to do, whether you know what it is or not, you don't have to know what it is. He wants you to cross over this morning because what I told you is he's going to speak to you and he's going to let you know what it is that he wants you to do. So the altar is open for those who want to cross over and step into that commission that God has for you. Those who want to step out of yesterday and step into today. Believe me, you're going to be totally shocked at what God's going to do. It's going to be so powerful and so wonderful. And it is stuff that you've never heard of before, too. He doesn't care what your past is. He's looking at your present. He's looking into your future. Some of you have stepped out of God's will. And if I was you, I would say, God, let me know what your perfect will is for my life.